From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. There are approximately 11 million undocumented immigrants now in the United States, around 250,000 here in Washington state. And unlike other parts of the country, a high percentage of immigrants here are from Asian countries. According to the 2010 census, 40% of immigrants in Washington state are from Asia. That's compared to 30% from Latin America. What are the particular challenges that Asian immigrants have faced and continue to face? Perhaps you came here from an Asian nation. Give us a call and tell us what your experience was. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Perhaps you came here as an undocumented resident. Tell us about what you're going through, perhaps your hopes for immigration reform. It's 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Pramila Jayapal is the co-chair of the We Belong Together campaign. They support immigration reform to keep families together, and they're working to empower women. She's also a distinguished fellow at the Washington, D.C. Organizing Group, the Center for Community Change. And Pramila Jayapal is also a distinguished fellow at the University of Washington Law School. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
And an immigrant from Asia.
I am.
What was your coming to America story?
Well, you know, my family's from India, and I came to the United States when I was 16 by myself. My parents had very little money, but my dad was convinced that the United States was the place I was going to get the best education. So he took the whole, you know, couple thousand dollars that he had, and he sent me here by myself for college. And I have been here ever since.
You had no family here? You just showed up?
Right.
Wow.
I had an aunt who lived in D.C. and I went to Georgetown undergrad. And my sister had come as well. And so she was here, but in Pennsylvania. But I didn't have my parents here. And so that was in 1982. And I didn't actually get my citizenship until 2000. It took me 18 years to get my citizenship. And that whole time, I couldn't sponsor my parents to come here, and which I really wanted. You know, I have a 16-year-old now, and I think about what it meant for my parents to send me over away at that age. And it's really kind of amazing to me. I don't think I could do it. But, you know, now I'm a citizen, and I could sponsor them, but they're too old to come. So it's like the tragedy of families being, you know, split apart, and almost always happening because people want something better for their kids or for themselves.
What was your 16-year-old vision of what America would be like, and how did it compare to what you found when you got here?
Well, it was I landed at JFK Airport, and I remember being really I was so nervous. You know, I was traveling all by myself, and everything seemed new. I spoke English, so that was hugely different than a lot of the immigrants that I've worked with over the years. So I had that advantage. But, you know, I didn't know how to dress. I mean, it was cold. I had never been in cold before. I had never worn socks really before. So my feet would break out in rashes. I would smile at everybody on the streets, and it was Washington, D.C., and people would say, "Don't smile," you know. And I'm like, why not? Why can't I smile? I remember driving all the way from New York to somewhere in the Midwest. And I remember just not seeing people. You know, I mean, India is so crowded. We have so many people. Everywhere you go, there are people. And so driving on the highway and thinking and looking and saying, where is everybody? I mean, where do they live? What do they do? What do they eat? It was a very strange experience on so many levels. Some were small, some were really big.
Mm-hmm. Why is it we have a higher percentage of immigrants from Asia than Latin America here? Is it just because we're relatively close to Asia compared to other parts of the country?
Well, I mean, the West Coast obviously is closer to Asia, but also, you know, we've had these long relationships with Asian immigrants who were imported here basically as slave labor, I'll say, and, you know, worked to build the railroads and worked in agriculture. And so we had a long history of importing immigrant workforce, in spite of the fact that Asians were excluded as a community. They were excluded from staying and immigrating to the United States, really, until the 1960s, when immigration law changed. I mean, the Chinese Exclusion Act and many other bad parts of our immigration history, Asian Pacific Americans have felt in particular, I think.
It's quite a checkered history here. We can read historic accounts of Chinese people being rounded up and sent on ships away from Seattle back in the early part of the last century. And of course, even for American citizens, if you were a Japanese American citizen, you got put in an internment camp when you were during World War II.
Yeah. 120,000 Americans of Japanese ancestry in 1942 rounded up. And I think, you know, the issue of immigration in this region is so is so central to the identity of who we are as a region, as a state. And then for Asian American for Asian Americans who are here, I think it also is very central to their identity and their experience of immigration. There's a lot of memory because this is not distant history. It's very close, near history. So I think Asian immigrants in particular have these incredible stories to tell about their immigration histories, and not all of them are good.
Now, we were talking beforehand, and you mentioned that there are actually a small percentage of undocumented Asian immigrants here. Why are there fewer undocumented Asian immigrants here?
Well, I just meant that overall, yeah, out of the 11 million undocumented immigrants in the United States, there's about 1.5 million that are Asian Pacific Americans and or Asian Pacific Islanders. And so just proportionately, yeah, the numbers are much smaller. You know, I think we might have a higher percentage compared to our percentage of population, just because we have more Asians here. But it is an issue. This immigration and undocumented immigration has been growing in the Asian community. And a couple of years ago, we worked with the Asian Pacific Islander Coalition and Diane Narasaki at the Asian Counseling and Referral Service to launch a campaign called Immigration is Our Issue Too, because I think I'm so happy you're doing this segment, because so much of the discussion is about Latinos.
It is. And we kind of have in our mind sort of images of that from media and elsewhere and firsthand accounts coming across the border in the story that we just heard a little bit earlier. How do undocumented Asians come to the United States? How do they get here?
Well, Asians rely on family sponsorship. I mean, Asians have the largest percentage of family members. You know, the largest percentage of Asian Americans in the United States are immigrants, so more than any other ethnic population. So most Asians come here through a family sponsorship system, and that means that they're also subject to the worst. They bear the disproportionate burden within the family system that doesn't work. So we've got 4.3 million people in the backlog right now. That means that somebody's here legally. They apply for a family member to come to the United States, and then they have to wait for sometimes 15 to 25 years. You know, for me as a legal permanent, even though I was here legally as a legal permanent resident, it would have taken me 20 years to bring my parents here. So there was no way that I could bring them here. So India, the Philippines, and Mexico are the countries that have the longest wait times. If you happen to have an adult child, and let's say you apply when he's 18 or she's 18, and you have to wait even just 4 years to bring your child into the country, which happens right now for a legal permanent resident, the minute they turn 21, they age out of that category, and they move to a completely different category. And now it takes another 15 to 20 years for them to come here. And that's why we have all these Filipino veterans who are 80 years old now, have been trying to bring their children here, fought in the war, and haven't been able to. So in that situation, you know, you have to make a choice between staying here illegally or coming here illegally so that you can be with your family, or not living with your family. And many people make that choice.
Perhaps you're in the situation that Pramila Jayapal has just described. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. 800-289-5869. Chime in. We are in the midst of immigration reform, and as I've mentioned this week, it was kind of a shock to wake up and look at the front page of the New York Times and see GOP supporting immigration reform, which is not something that party has been known for. So it appears as though there's a very real possibility we'll have it this time. Does the immigration reform proposals that are being discussed address this family issue you just outlined?
Well, I think that it's a big issue that's actually could be one of the biggest sticking points,
really?
You know, because unfortunately the Republicans are saying, well, we don't want, you know, this many people here. And so they're trying to eliminate family categories like adult children or siblings. And we had actually a wonderful week in D.C. around advocating. And, you know, and I think people made the point that a child is always your child, whether they're 21 or 28 or 16. And culturally, Asian Americans and other immigrants, I think, have a very strong sense of family. And family has been a cornerstone of American immigration for so long. And so I hope that there's a vigorous fight. And I hope Asian Americans and actually immigrants from everywhere recognize that they're going to have to fight to keep the family system in there. I do think overall that we're going to get a bill that's far stronger than we've ever had before, because you've got Rand Paul, not just the GOP, but you've got Rand Paul speaking to a room full of Tea Party folks and, you know, everybody cheering him on immigration. So the politics have changed. And I think that that means we're in more of an offensive situation than ever before.
I don't notice a lot of Asian immigrants actively working on this issue. Yourself, of course, a giant exception. Is that just because I'm not paying attention, or are they a little more reticent to be in the forefront of operating?
I think there are a lot of Asian Americans working on it. Diane Narasaki, Lua Pritchard. I mean, you know, incredible men and women here in the Northwest that have really taken on the charge. I think the problem is to make headway into the public debate. You know, I mean, you're doing the show now. That's fabulous. But a lot of places are not lifting up this issue. And so it makes it very difficult. We had 1,000 Asians at a rally that we did for immigration reform a couple of years ago. It was hardly covered. You know, I mean, that was a significant number of people, maybe one of the largest turnouts of Asians in the history of immigration marches. But it just wasn't really covered. So I think that there is really strong work. The Asian Pacific American Coalition has been doing really wonderful work in this region, bringing Asians from Spokane and Walla Walla and Yakima and Vancouver and all over the state to advocate on this issue. The Asian American Justice Center in Washington, D.C. has been doing fabulous work on it. But we need to break through the media debate and make sure that people are really understanding what Asians have, both because it's a real injustice for Asians who are here undocumented and documented,
sure,
but also because strategically, if we're going to win immigration reform, we need every immigrant and every American to see themselves in the debate. We need to make a place for somebody to stand up and say, you know, I'm an immigrant from India or from Philippines or wherever, and this matters to me.
I got to say, when we open the phone lines and ask people to talk about immigration reform and discuss it, some of the calls of people who are the most adamant about not allowing a path to citizenship are Asian Americans, are Latino Americans who came here through the legal system and feel as though, well, I did it the way it should be done. And they're sometimes even less tolerant than some of our other callers about providing a pathway for others. Is there a little bit of a conflict within both the Asian immigrant community and other communities about this issue in that way?
You know, I think like every community there is. And I think part of it is this false perception that I came here legally, you know. And the reality is a lot of people, when they came here, we didn't have these kinds of immigration laws. I mean, we really didn't. It was a heck of a lot easier in the past to come here. And so some of it is that. Some of it is, I think, that with Asian Americans, I have noticed that if they feel like the family backlog issue is being left off, the family reunification issue is being left off, and they're waiting for 15 years to bring their loved ones in, and there's somebody else who's saying, well, I should become legal now, that creates a big problem. And so what we've been advocating is talk about all the ways that the immigration system is broken, because immigration reform should fix all of these things. And it is just as wrong for somebody to wait 15 or 20 years to bring a child into the country as it is for somebody, you know, who's undocumented and doing all this work every day to not be able to stay here. So
Pramila Jayapal, thank you so much for coming by. I really appreciate it. This conversation and all of the features in this week-long series on immigration reside at KUOW.org for you to go back and check out. Pramila Jayapal, co-chair of the We Belong Together campaign, a distinguished fellow at the Center for Community Change, and distinguished fellow at the University of Washington Law School. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.